So the first Christmas gift I got ahead of time was from Jackie, and it was this. Can you see that from where you are? It is a bottle opening, timekeeping piece. It was her subtle way of saying, "You're going a little too long on Sunday." So this is here for me to register how long we'll go. Okay, the instruction, as Jackie said, is this, and we'll try it, and then we'll get sort of into the rhythm. Every time I say the word gift or gifts, I want all of us to say this: "Woohoo! I love gifts!" Okay, so we're just going to practice right away so you can get into the rhythm. So I'm going to say the word gifts, and you're going to say what? Love it! You guys, you're on top of your game today. This is fantastic. This is Christmas Eve morning. I don't even know if that's politically correct, but that's just the way it is. This is Advent season. We've been learning about the gifts. Yeah, you do! Of the gospel. Specifically, we've been talking about what we've been singing about, what our young kids' zoners sung about, what our older kids' zoners read for us, and we joined them in that, and what Jackie just shared with us, that God sent his son, Jesus, to this earth, born on Christmas Day, for the following reasons: to show us his love. That was the first gift of the gospel, to save us from sin. That was the second gift of the gospel, to set up his kingdom of love and peace and, well, family and hope and all the other things, I suppose, are included, and reconciliation. That was the third gift of the gospel. And then finally, we would put it this way: for adult consumption, to shut down religion, weird, even his own, so that we could worship God anywhere, anytime, be in relationship with him. That is the fourth gift. I love gifts of the gospel. You see, when Jesus came, there were all kinds of rules in place for worshiping God. One of those rules was that people who wanted to worship God needed to make offerings, or what the Bible calls sacrifices, to God, like an animal or some food, and for a whole lot of reasons, actually. And one of those offerings, the one called the sin offering, was offered for, guess what? The forgiveness of sins. Correct, you are. But when Jesus grew up and began to teach the people, John the Baptist, you may remember him from the Bible, pointed at Jesus, he saw them coming, and said, "Look, what? The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Like, wow. Do you know what that means? Lambs were what the people offered for what, do you think? The sin offering. But Jesus is the Lamb of God, provided by God to forgive people. And because God provided Jesus, all the other sacrifices would never be needed anymore. Here's some really good news. Jesus didn't just forgive some of our sins, he forgives all our sins. And better than that, he solves the whole sin problem. And not just for some people, but as John the Baptist said, the whole world. John was saying, "Hey, you know what? We don't have to make any more sacrifices because Jesus will take away all sin for all people for all time." Now that is a gift. Another one of the rules for worship was that people needed someone to give the offering, the sacrifice, to. And they called that person a priest. And that priest would offer sacrifices on behalf of the people. There were many priests in Jesus' day, actually, but there was only one high priest, the head of all the priests who worked at the temple in Jerusalem. Jesus became more than just the last sacrifice. He also became the last high priest to offer that sacrifice. You see, the priest stood at the altar day after day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again and again, never to sit down. as if to say, by doing that, the work of forgiveness is never done. But the offering of Christ is completely different. It's not a human sacrifice. It's a divine sacrifice. It's not animal or food. It's Jesus himself. One of the Bible writers puts it this way. Unlike the high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day. Why is that? Because Jesus was perfect. First for his own sins, talking about the priests, and then for the sins of the people. Jesus, he sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. And when Jesus was done, when it was all finished, what did he do? Did he keep standing? No. He sat down at the right hand of God as if to say what? Forgiveness is done. What a gift. Love gifts. In Jesus' day, the people believed that the temple was the place where God's special presence sort of lived and dwelt, where people could go to meet with him. But Jesus taught something very different, actually. The Apostle John recorded a conversation that Jesus had with the religious leaders of that day, like just standing right outside the temple. Jesus told them, and I'm quoting now from John chapter 2, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." The religious leaders thought that Jesus was crazy. They thought, it took like hundreds of years to build that. You're going to take it down, like build it in 3 days? Like, that's not going to happen. But he was actually, as John says later, he was actually talking about himself being the temple. John explains, but the temple he had spoken of was his body. Did you catch that? Jesus was saying that he, not some building somewhere, is the meeting place of God. But you're going to probably wonder, as I did, how do we meet with God at like the Jesus temple, I guess we'd call it, these days, since he hasn't been around for like 2,000 years or so? Well, that's a fair question. And here's a really cool answer. Remember, a temple, like a church, like a meeting place of people, is the place where God's Spirit dwells in a special way. That place was a person whose name was Jesus when he was on planet Earth. But then Jesus promised something else when he left, that God would send his Spirit to dwell in us, believers, who together form what? Not a body, but the body of Christ, right? The Apostle Peter describes it this way. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are like living stones that make up the structure of God's new temple, where the most sacred space on the planet is between me and you, between you and your family members, when we love each other like Jesus. No sacrifices, no priest, no temple, no problem. Jesus fulfilled the entire religious system at the cross. As the lamb being offered, as the priest offering that sacrifice, even as the temple itself where the sacrifices happen, Jesus made it possible for us to worship God, as Jackie said, anytime, anywhere. What an amazing, get ready, gift. Right. You got ahead of yourself, didn't you? I know. You're so excited for that line. So, last question, and then we'll wrap it up. Are there any rules, then? If it's all about relationship, as Jackie said, are there any rules? There's one, really, in the end. And we've talked about it already in this series. And it is to love one another. It is to love one another. You see, the Old Testament rules, regulations, rituals, routines to guide their choices. We're like moral training wheels towards the goal of making Israel more like God, but being then in the end more internally motivated to love than just being guided by the rules. The Old Testament rules were designed to keep us, humanity, moving in the right direction until we were ready for friendship with God, which came later. Then Jesus came. Ba, ba, ba. How did he sleep, right? God outlined this plan centuries before it happened. In the book of Jeremiah, he talks about it this way. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel. So no longer rules-driven, but relationship-driven, and with the people of Judah. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after a time. I will put my law in their minds, so I'll start thinking like God and write it on their hearts, so I will desire the same things that he would. I'll be their God. They will be my people, for I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. To think like God, to have a heart like his, because his spirit lives in us, these are those days. What a gift. I would like to ask our Kids Zone kids to come forward one more time and place themselves right here, if you would. I have something very special for you. So all Kids Zoners of all ages and anyone else who would be interested in sugar. So if you're interested in sugar, yep, Corey, come on up. Absolutely. When I say students, I mean students. So you know, you muscled through to the 22nd. Like, was that really late or was it just me? You guys had so long. That was wicked late. It's crazy. So I'm going to ask you, wow, you, students of life, I would say. All right, we've been talking about gifts. Yeah, sugar, there's sugar. Just come, children. And then enjoy your day with your parents. Bless you, parents. Yes. So shortly, I'm going to give you, well, the elves are going to give you a gift, and I'll describe to you even now what's in the gift itself. You'll have to wait a moment, though. And I'm going to need all of your attention over here, though. So over here. Over here. Oh, Joshua Gregan, you're such a bad example. Okay. So, we've talked about four gifts, but none of these gifts happen if it isn't for the gift of Christmas, who is a person. Yes, thank you. Go student again. The gift of Christmas. The gift of Christmas. I don't know how this works. Who is a person, who is Jesus Christ. So we light the Christ candle on Christmas Eve because it's his birthday. He makes it all possible. You know what? It's a really short wick. Yeah. But I really appreciate you rebuking me like that publicly. So, four gifts. Four gifts! Yes! And they are as follows. These are the four gifts of the gospel. You caught me off guard there. That was really good, though. Okay, so four things given us. Okay. God sent Jesus to show us his love, to forgive us our sin, to set up his kingdom of love and reconciliation, hope, and to provide relationship. We would say shut down religion. That is the gift of the gospel. That also is the gifts of Christmas. I'm going to ask our worship team to come forward.